This is a house of prayer. Amen. Remember when Jesus came to the temple one time and they were buying and selling all these animal sacrifices out there in the outer court? That didn't make Jesus happy. The Bible tells us He sat down that day, prayed. He prayed first, right? Be swift to hear, slow to speak. The Lord listened to His own words. Amen? He didn't listen to His flesh. He didn't give up what He saw and what He heard, because if what He saw and what He heard wasn't what His heart was telling Him was right. And that's how we hear. We don't hear by these ears. We hear by our heart. Now, we do hear by these ears. Let me take that back. But what our heart hears and what our ears hear are two different things. Jesus said, take heed what you hear with the measure you hear it. Because what He's saying is what the world's saying is not what I said. He said in the beginning, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And then He said, He blessed them. Larry's blessed. You're blessed. God don't change, right? I mean, He doesn't curse things. He blessed. The devil brought the curse. And if we get on the devil's side, then we invoke the curse, right? Not God. God is Emmanuel. God with us. He's always with us and He's always for you. Amen? That little nugget and that little knowledge right there will carry us a long ways in this world, knowing that God, the King of the universe, is with us. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank You, Lord, for Your precious anointing, Your Word this morning, Father God, that lives and abides within each one of Your children. Lord, Your Word abides in You. Your Word is alive and it's quick and it's able to save to the uttermost. And Father, we just thank You for that Word, for Your Son Jesus that became in the flesh, inhabited a flesh body and became, the Word became flesh, Emmanuel, and dwelt with us, and now is seated high above all principalities and powers. But that's not the end of the story. That was just the beginning. Now, He has given us all power and authority He gave to the church. And we can boldly come into the throne of grace today. We can boldly come to Father God, to Daddy God, and say, thank You, Lord, for saving us through Your Son, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And He said, all that want to come, come to Jesus. Amen? Amen. I want to give you a little bit of science 101 this morning. Anybody ready for some science? Come to church and think about science. Oh, Lord. Science. We are right in midst of the... You start to notice your air conditioning hadn't been coming on the last couple of evenings. It's been staying quiet. It's kind of like it's in hibernation out there. Until the sun pops out about midday, it might come on a little bit. But we're kind of transitioning now where we live into the fall season. And I want to give you... You know, Pastor mentioned this in his message. He talked about the leaf last week a little bit in his message. And I'm like, oh, he's getting to my message. He might just go ahead and preach it last Sunday. But that Monday, after his message, it might have been Monday, might have been Tuesday, but the Lord had given me a message. And as I was working, getting back in the van, I think maybe my next to last or last job, had my window down because it's cool now. Air conditioning's not running. And a leaf just blowed right in my lap. Big old, probably an oak leaf. And I took that leaf and I sat on my dash and I meditated upon that the rest of the evening. That leaf just blowing in there. Because it's a part of the message God has given me for this particular day, for this particular season. And it's a word that He gave to me. And then He just does these little special things. He didn't blow one or five or ten leaves, just one leaf came in my window. But to somebody that's not thinking about maybe keeping his mind upon the Lord, I just took that leaf and threw it outside and forgot about it. But it was special. And that means it's special to you because He's given it to me, but everything God gives me, it's not for me, it's for somebody else. When God gave Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I've come to serve. He gave His Son, Jesus, for you and for me so we can come back to fellowship with God. It's called a family. Bring us back to the family. But your science 101 this morning, if you can picture the leaves out there, starting to change color, transitioning. Well, does anybody know why leaves fall? And if you know, you still got to be quiet until I give you the answer.
Gravity?
That's a good shot at it in the dark there, Terry. What school did you get? No, don't tell me what school you graduated from. Why do leaves fall? Well, Well, I mean, I had a couple answers, and mine were pretty close, what I thought. But I'm not a scientist. I mean, there's scientists God has given men to study the things of the earth. But you think you know why leaves fall off the trees, right? Well, you might not have quite the right answer. It's not the wind. That's a real good answer. It's not the cold. That's another good answer. It's because a tree uses scissors. You think, oh, this preacher, he's gone. Now he's lost it. Shut the door, Brenda. You got to stay with me at least 40 minutes to work this together for you. But a tree actually has scissors to cut their leaves off. We call this season the fall because all around us right now, and we live in an area where the trees do fall, there's some areas of where the temperature, maybe thinking about Hawaii, maybe they never change or never fall. They might change. I haven't made it to Hawaii yet. God willing, I'll go. Yes, Lord. Did y'all hear that? Did you hear that voice from heaven? I like pineapples, too. One of my favorite fruits. My mother's been to Hawaii. Why can't her son go? Amen? Y'all get in agreement there. Following mom's footsteps. But leaves are turning yellow and they're looking a little dry and a little crusty, starting to get that way. But then a stiff wind comes along and blows them. That's the reason they seem to fall to the ground. And that justifies this time of season being called fall. But the truth is much more interesting. According to Peter Raven, president of the Missouri Botanical Garden and renowned botanist, the wind doesn't gently just pull leaves off the trees. Trees are more proactive than that. They throw their leaves off. Instead of calling this season the fall, if trees could talk, they'd be calling it get off of me season. Now, this is what Peter Graven said. This ain't what I said now. Here's why. Have I got the pen ready? I'm write down why leaves fall. Around this time of year in the northern hemisphere, as the days grow shorter and colder, those changes trigger a hormone in leaf-dropping trees that sends a chemical message to every leaf that says, in essence, it's time to go. It's time to part ways. Once the message is received, says Raven, little cells appear at the place where the leaf stem meets the branch. Now, you can't see this all with the natural eye, but if you take a microscope, and their picture was on where I looked this information up, and I didn't print it out, but you can actually see this. You know, if you ever took and put sand underneath a microscope and see what those little particles look like, it looks like little pieces of glass. I'm like, wow, you know, you think when you walk on the sand, your feet kind of hurt. You know, glass is made out of sand that's heated. And you see those little, I was amazed to see, you know what? There are things you can see with a microscope. Makes sense. Look like little pieces of glass. But once the message is received from the, says Raven, little cells appear at the place where the leaf stem meets the branch. They're called abscission cells. Therefore, the root word of that name, we get scissors. So see, I'm not that crazy as y'all thought I was. Meaning they're designed like little scissors that cut. So if you can get a picture of that, these little cells look like little scissors, just like if you look underneath the microscope at sand particles, it looks like glass. And within a few days or week, every leaf on these, they call them deciduous trees, develops a thin, bumpy line. You can probably see that on a leaf. What I'm trying to do here is kind of paint you a picture, and everybody's going to go out here and they're probably be picking a leaf up off the ground, ain't you? Before you get to your car. That's good. It creates a little bumpy line of cells that push the leaf bit by bit away from the stem. Now, we can't see it with our natural eye, but a microscope, you can. All the cells will line up and look like that. They're just kind of pressing. That's where the tree gives each leaf a push, leaving it increasingly dangling. It starts to dangle. So with that very slender connection, they're sort of ready to be like kicked off the tree. They're just kind of waiting for that last cut, that last sever, says Raven. And then the breeze comes. And just, see, the breeze actually helps, but it didn't start the process. So the truth is, the wind isn't making the leaves fall, it's the tree, you think. The tree? The tree is deeply programmed by who? the Creator, our Creator. To insist that the leaves drop away. Well, why? Why not? Why can't the leaves just stick around? Well, can anybody raise both hands and say, I'm not God? Okay, that's for Him to decide when He made that tree, right? He has a purpose. That tree has a purpose. Raven explains that leaves are basically the kitchen staff of a tree. Colette, you're probably in the kitchen, getting things ready, cooking. Anybody in the kitchen, ladies, men, I'm in the kitchen a lot too. During the spring, summer, and early fall, they make the food that helps the tree grow and thrive and reproduce. This is what the leaves are doing, helping the tree. When the days get short and cold, food production slows down. Might be a good time to start losing some weight in the wintertime. Need to take an example of that leaf. Giving the tree an option. Okay, the tree has an option here. It can keep this kitchen staff, or it can let them go. The leaf. Think of the leaf as a kitchen. It can keep them, or it can let them go. The tree holds the scissors in its DNA, right? But if trees kept their leaves permanently, they wouldn't have to grow new ones. But leaves are not the brightest bulbs on the tree. Even so, when the winter weather has a break and the days turn warm, you know, sometimes we have frost, kills a lot of the farmer's crop. It comes, get early frost, kills the bloom. Even so, when the winter has a break and the days turn warm, Raven says leaves will start photosynthesizing. I'm not going to say that word one time. I remember hearing that in school, photosynthesis. They get some water and they start operating and making food, but then if they do that in the wintertime and it gets cold again, the water freezes. And when the cold snaps back on, the leaves will be caught with water in their veins, freeze, and die. So instead of food that's resting, the tree is stuck with food or a staff that's actually dead. And when spring comes, the permanent help will be no help because they're dead. They're trapped. And the tree will die just because he chose option two instead of option one. That's why he has to sever the leaves so that next season he can grow, receive his food. That's why every fall, deciduous trees in many parts of North America get rid of their leaves and grow new ones in the spring. Guess what? It's safer that way for the tree. Pretty smart tree, right? All right, there's your science 101 today, and we'll take the quiz next Sunday, see if you remembered that. I didn't hear an amen on that now. It means you got to come back next Sunday and take the test. Okay. Fall. To me, and I took that, and then the Lord was giving me a message through that, but I did that little search on my, because I wanted to know, because, you know, there's something. If you dig deep enough, God says, if you keep digging, scientists, when they keep digging deep enough, they'll find God, right? A lot of them might deny that there is one. If they keep digging, keep looking at the eyeball, keep looking at the body, dig in there, there's got to be, it couldn't just happen chaotically. No way. It takes more faith to believe it would just happen chaotically than it takes to believe in a creator. I choose option one in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, a creator. John 12:24, and Dallas, I have this on the screen for you. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." You're like, now to a scientist, scientific mind, that wouldn't make sense. Because I got a grain of wheat and it's alive. It's going to produce life. But that ain't what Jesus said. He said, "Verily, verily, for a truth, for a truth. I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall." It's got to fall. Falling's not a bad thing. We think of falling sometimes as bad. Unless it fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. See, these leaves, they don't just fall. They have a purpose. The tree cuts them off and is cut off by the tree. And also that leaf, when it falls to the ground, it'll actually decay. There'll be all kind of insects underneath that, taken from that leaf. You know, God had all this designed before He even said to Adam, before He even created the tree and gave Adam the wisdom to understand some of these things. Amen? It's okay to be a scientist. Nothing wrong with being a scientist as long as you know that you're not God. That you were created by a creator, and He gave us this wisdom and knowledge to use to our benefit. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, and this is your assurance, talking about the assurance we have of the resurrection. You know, Terry was singing a song. Terry was talking about Jesus is coming again. He's already came, but He's coming again. But we need to receive Him, receive the report, receive that gift that He has given before He returns again. Because before He returns again, there's going to be a snatching away. There's going to be a rapture of the church before great tribulation comes. And I don't want to be cut off from that. I'm going up to be with the Lord. But in verse 21, for He, and this He is God, for He made Him, and the Him is Jesus here. For God made Jesus who knew no sin from the beginning. That no is an intimate relationship. It's like a man and a woman have an intimate relationship. Jesus knew no evil, knew no sin, because why? He is God. And in God there is no evil. James tells us. When we say I'm tempted, do not say you're tempted of God, because God cannot be tempted with evil, nor will He tempt any man. Because He can't. He can't do something that's not who He is, right? I can't give you something I don't have or I'm not a part of. Well, God can't give you no evil because there is none in Him. He's holy, pure, just. And He made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin for who? For a purpose? Yeah. For us. To be sin who knew no sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Him. Not in your own righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Jesus was cut off. Think about the leaf. The tree has a purpose. It had to cut off the leaf for a season. For a season. Jesus had to be cut off from this earth for a season. For 3 days, He went in the ground. For a season, He was cut off from humanity and from God. To be separated from God is to die. Jesus died. Amen? He became death. Why? So that He could rise again. And who? To be the firstborn of many brethren. The first fruits. That means if there's a first fruit, what's coming? The harvest is coming, right? That's you and that's me, those that are born again. That was His purpose. He was cut off. God, you can think of God as a tree, cut off His Son from us, from Himself, so He could bring the new season of life. The glory of God. His family back to fellowship with Him. It's okay to fall. Fall into the arms of Jesus. That's the message today. Fall into Jesus. Because He fell for us. He was cut off. He became sin who knew no sin so that we could be made righteous again. What an awesome story of love. And I just want to, this is not in my notes, but I want you to hear this because God's no respecter of persons. I have 4 kids, if y'all know me here. Ruthie's my youngest daughter. Just coming home from a softball game last night, Ruthie's a talker. They're all kind of talkers, but Ruthie and Rowan, they get the award A and B for talkers. And she wanted her mama to sit in the front seat so that she wouldn't have to turn around and talk to her mama because Ruthie has to see you. That's okay. But I said, Ruthie, I'm here. I'm in the front seat. So she did start to talk, but she still turned about halfway. But she's talking about relationships in school, her friends, having boyfriends. And then the next day, not next week, year, 10 years, then it's not a boyfriend anymore. She's working on another boyfriend. Talking about her friends having relationships and then ending, cutting off those relationships. And even some getting involved with other guys that have relationships so that she can end their relationship, to have a relationship with, you know, it's all, Ruthie's seeing all this at school. And she says, and she starts talking about love. And she said, Daddy, I even have kids tell me that, you know, you and such will make a good partner, a good match. Y'all need to get together. I think y'all were just made for each other. And she says, you know, she said, that, to me, that's not love. She said, Daddy, they say they love each other, or they just fall in love with each other. I've been there too, without Christ in my life, and I'm going upon what I hear, what I see, and what my body is feeling, all these goosebumps, my heart's pumping, my forehead's sweating. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us what love is. Not what, there's different words for love, but the agape love, God's kind of love, is totally different than what love is. Love is to be completely cut off from the one who made you and still love the one who cut you off. Amen? It's what Jesus did. He was cut off from His Father, but not for His benefit, but for Pastor's benefit, for my benefit. And God is showing Ruthie, for her benefit, what love is. Love never fails, she says. Love doesn't notice another person when they mess up. And she said, Daddy, she said, you know what, I'm going to let God, and me and Sherry, we're kind of talking to her and saying, hey, hallelujah, that's good, Ruthie. Because she's hearing from God. She's learning what love is. And she said, I'm going to let God, that person will know. She goes, I'm not going to tell somebody I love them because I know what love is. Love is forever. And she says, when I tell somebody I love them, I want it to mean forever. And I was like really in awe of how God is showing her who He is. She knows God. Jesus knew no sin, but He knew God. And that's what held Him on the cross. And He didn't get into His flesh, because He could have gotten into His flesh and called over a legion of angels, because he was no sin. There was no sin in Him. But He became sin so that we become born again. He was cut off. God's Word works. As a parent, sometimes it's hard training our kids, correcting our kids, punishing our kids. I'm talking about spanking our kids when we need to. They get older, taking things away from them. Because what it's got to do, it's got to bring them back to reality. And one day, as they get older, and they will get older, yes, they will grow up. And they're going to fall into the arms of Jesus. I've already allowed that cut to happen. Amen, because I've committed them to Him. That's something that Daddy Tree has already said, I agree to that, God. And one day they're going to be cut off. I mean, and spiritually I have cut them off for me to let God nurture them, let His Word train them up. And what I did, there's a part of me that has to die. And that's what I see, what I hear, what I feel. A lot of times what I do for my kids or the correction I give them, it don't feel good because Daddy's laying down the law. Well, the law is good. It has a purpose. It's to keep sin from having its purpose. Amen? Or I would say the wages of sin. Because the wages of sin are death. And none of our parents, or as a parent, we don't want our kids to suffer death, right? I'm not talking about physical death. There's spiritual death. The wages of sin is death. You continue on down a crooked road, guess what? You're going to get crooked. Make sense? Let's follow that straight road. Paul was on a street called Straight Street after he had a separation from religion, was blinded by the light. He went and saw a man that prayed for him. But Jesus became sin for us. He was made to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Fall into the arms of Jesus. Fall ushers a time of change. Daylight hours are shorter. I'm not too happy about that. I can't quite get all my stuff done that I said I was going to do a year ago, that I'm still trying to get done. Temperatures are getting colder. I like being right in the middle, where you don't have to turn nothing on. You just kind of open up the window. But there's coming that next change to where you got to, now you got to bump that thermostat up in the morning and get up. The heat's got to come on. Now, this earth was created in the image of heaven, right? Because everything that God created here, there's a picture of it in heaven. There's a rainbow in heaven. There's a rainbow here on the earth. There's a temple in heaven. Moses seen, God gave him a vision of a temple in heaven. And Solomon created a temple here on the earth, right? Now, guess what? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God has a place for you in heaven, right? We are His temple. And He wants us back in heaven. But I don't know. But I know it's going to be awesome in heaven. What we see out here is nothing's going to compare. Those leaves might change, might not change. But you know what? It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be glorious. Oh, glorious day. What we see of earth today is nothing like it was in the beginning. There was no sin. There was no corruption in the earth. So just imagine. Just try to imagine what our eyes are going to see. But fall ushers in a time of change. How's your year going? My last week was I think it was one of the worst weeks. I just kind of had this spiritually, just things just coming against me. Anybody had a week, a day, a year? Anybody had a year that's just been challenging, changing? Well, now's a good time to fall into Jesus. Fall into Him. What about just a day, just a year, not going exactly the way you had planned? I think that'd probably get all of us. I think it's time for a change. I think the Lord's saying it's time for a change. It's time to fall into the arms of Jesus. And I want to remind you of the words of the Lord Jesus that He gave to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. You think, now this is the Apostle John. This is the Apostle at one time was in the bosom of Jesus, was in His breast, fellowshipping with Him. He knew Jesus. He knew Him intimately as God. And actually had the privilege of Him being here physically on the earth. Somebody you could actually just put your shoulder on. You know, that's awesome. In Revelations chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, I won't turn there. That's the very last book in your Bible. Revelations 2, verses 1 through 5. Now, you got to get a picture. This is John, the Apostle John, on the Isle of Patmos, that from what history tells us, they tried to kill him, but they couldn't kill him. They even tell us that they boiled John in oil and he just wouldn't die. You know why? He fell into the arms of Jesus. He fell into the arms of Jesus. God had a purpose and wasn't no man going to steal him or come against that purpose God had given John. Whether they boiled him or whatever else they did to him, so they said, well, let's just put the boy on the Isle of Patmos. To John, it was Hawaii. Amen? Because you know what? He had a relationship with God that nobody could take away from him. It didn't matter where they put him. Patmos, Hawaii. I think of one movie Clint Eastwood done was Alcatraz. It could have been Alcatraz. You know what? John didn't need to escape because he had already escaped. Abraham escaped. He said, I'm looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. He was in the earth. He was traveling, but he was looking for a city. But you might say, well, Abraham, you went up to many cities. No, he said, I'm looking for that city. The one he knew God dwelt in. He never did find it here on the earth, but he did find it, my friend, didn't he? He's there. And he's saying, come on. It's looking good up here. He found that city. Revelations 2:1, this is the angel of the church of Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things said he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and your patience, and how you canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and have had patience, and for my name's sake you have labored, and you have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because we have left your first love. Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. The Lord's wanting you to just get this word fall and fallen in a season and know. Remember when you fell, when you were cut off. And do what? Just repent. And repent and do your first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. So what the Lord's saying, and He was saying to me this past week as I was going through all this stuff that was just coming up against me, return to my first works, my first love. Return to Jesus. Get into the arms of Jesus. Get into His grace. See, there's nothing I can do to earn the grace of God. Only thing I need to do is believe and go there. And you got to do that by faith. And by faith, I mean you've got to just got to go there. It's going to take some discipline. You just got to go to that place, that resting place in God, and trust Him and go to the arms and fall into the arms of Jesus and rest. That's where our rest is. He says, I am the Sabbath rest. Jesus is the rest of God. And stay there as long as you need to. Get what you need, and then do like John did on the Isle of Patmos. Be determined, no matter what they do to you, I'm not falling out of the arms of Jesus. Because He's in the grace. And in that grace, therein lies the power. Because grace is God's power to change our lives. So anytime you're out here in the world, things are coming up against you, it ain't looking quite right, I think it's a time for change. Remember to fall back into the arms of Jesus. And you, when you get that close, when you're in somebody's arms, you're close. And when you're close with somebody, you can hear their heartbeat, right? And when you hear that heartbeat, you're hearing the voice of God. That heartbeat's going to tell you something. It's going to tell you what you need to do or what you don't need to do, right? Amen? And John, at that point in his life, went back to the arms of Jesus. On the Isle of Patmos, he went back to that day, to that night when he was with Jesus. And it wasn't just probably just one time that he reflected back on. There was 3.5 years in the ministry he probably reflected back on. But then there's years prior to that he probably knew of Jesus. But he didn't know Jesus the Christ. Before that 3.5 years, he knew Jesus Christ, the carpenter's son, the son of Joseph. But then Jesus revealed to us who he truly was when he was baptized in the Jordan and when the Holy Spirit descended upon him and his purpose came into the season of life that it was purposed for, the Son of God. God anointed him with power to come and change our lives. Amen? He stepped into his ministry that day and received that anointing from on high and then began the work that God had called him to do and started impacting and changing lives in 3.5 years. The miracles, the healings that he did. And I think back, I didn't go deep into the science 101, but I gave an example of trees that cut the leaves off and they fall. But do you know there's trees that's called evergreen trees? What do they do? Holly bushes are an example. I've got 4 of them that I had to trim and get stuck while I trim them. And they got taller. I had to get a stepladder and get on top of those holly bushes and cut them because my wife won't let me cut them head high no more. I wanted to get the chainsaw, the Poulan out. said, nope, you ain't going to do it. I had to submit. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Those holly bushes are evergreen. All year round, they hold their color. Look pretty good in wintertime when the snow falls on them. But guess what? We don't have to be like the tree that we get cut off. Jesus was cut off and is forever making intercession for us. He was cut off from relationship with God so that we would never have to be cut off. Thank God we don't have to be like a deciduous tree. We're an evergreen tree. Remember Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branch. If my words abide in you and you abide in me and we abide in the vine, guess what? We have the life of God. He's not going to cut us off. We have option two. We're the only ones that can separate ourselves from His love and kindness. Let's choose option one. No. I'm going to stay in the arms of Jesus and receive from Him continually, every day, that nourishment, that food. And guess what? It'll change your life. You'll go from glory, from red to green to purple. That's what those trees, the leaves they go to. And you'll never have to fall off. You can be changed and stay on the tree. Amen? And show forth the glory of God. Because that's what those leaves do. They show, the leaves are the glory of the tree. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we are the glory of God through the life that we live in His Son Jesus. To show forth His glory. Amen?
Amen.
That means we're going to show forth His healing power.
Yes.
Sister, you're a blessing. You're one of God's favorites. Amen? And you're going to walk, you're walking in the blessings of God. He's no respecter of persons. He loves us each the same. Amen? Let's take this time and I want us just to bow our heads. If there's anybody here that hasn't come to that point in your life to where you have fallen into the arms of Jesus, if you haven't made Him your Lord and Savior. Now, at one point in my life, I went to church. And my understanding of getting born again was coming to the pastor and say, I want to join the church in the way of baptism. Guess what? I could have done that and missed heaven. Because it's not what I do, it's what He did for me. And the only thing I have to do to receive eternal life and not forever be cut off from the Father is simply believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for my sins, took them to hell and left them there and was raised the third day. And when I put my faith in a Savior, I'm born again. I believe that. Every head bowed. If there's anybody here that doesn't know for sure that you've done that, if you could just by faith raise your hand, let me know, let us know, because we want to pray with you. We want you to know that you're born again. Anybody here? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me ask a second question with your head still bowed. Is there something in your life that needs to be changed? Specifically today that you want us to pray with you about and agree with you about, that Jesus is here to make a change. He wants you to know that you can fall into His arms 24/7 because He has all the power that you need to change. And it's not by works, because if it was by works, you'd have something to brag about. But it's by His grace, and it's by His love. And I'm here to agree with you this morning. Anything you need changed in your life, that He wants to change it for you today.